You will hear of wars and insurrections. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famine and plagues. You might say our readings this week have a bit of an apocalyptic rumble, if I don't say so myself. Hearing the gospel this morning, it almost sounds, frankly, like Luke is describing some aspects of our current lived reality. Wildfires in California and Australia, massive typhoon that just hit Japan, foreign governments meddling in each other's elections, allies turning against each other on a whim and retreating. These excerpts from the Holy Scriptures, which were written millennia ago, but assigned by our lectionary for today, they have the uncanny ability to speak truth in all the ages, including to us here this morning. We're coming to the end of yet another year, my friends. The leaves have fallen. The first snowfall, yes, even the second snowfall, is already on the ground. Shoot. The seasons are changing, and the end of 2019 is drawing near. And the end of our church year is coming up even faster than that. Next week, I won't be here. Bishop Michael will be here to celebrate Valley Sunday with you. But you'll also be celebrating the reign of Christ, the feast of Christ the King. And we'll pull out our white altar cloths and all of our beautiful white banners, the most sacred color of the liturgical year, white, the color of the incarnation, the color of resurrection. And then just like that, the church year will be over. And we'll say goodbye to year C in our lectionary and the weekly doses of grace that we've been receiving from the Gospel according to Luke. And the next Sunday, December 1st, we'll begin the year anew. We'll trim our churches with the beautiful and rich royal blues of Advent, and we'll begin to discover again the storytelling and the majesty and the mystery of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And it is because we are approaching yet another end of year that our lectionary gifts us this week with readings that focus on endings. Readings that draw our minds and our hearts to what will one day be the ending of it all, the apocalypse. It's no coincidence that there's an apocalyptic tone this morning. It's because we're nearing the end of the year. The apocalypse, or the parousia, as the Greeks called it, it simply means the arrival. Our readings are drawing our hearts and minds to the truth of the second coming of Christ. Now, when most of us hear the word apocalypse, our minds probably don't go to a very good place, do they? For those of us who grew up during the Cold War, apocalypse usually conjures up images of duck and cover, right? All those drills that everyone had to do in school to get underneath your desk quickly during the Cuban Missile Crisis. The terror of nuclear holocaust forever being on the horizon. The world coming to an end in one great big fireball. Now, those of us like me who were privileged to grow up in the 1990s and the 2000s after the Berlin Wall fell, we probably have a slightly different imagination of apocalypse. Our thoughts are probably shaped more by blockbuster movies. You know the ones I'm talking about, the ones where Bruce Willis blasts off into space and tries to blow up an asteroid before it crashes into the Earth. Or the other one where they drill deep into the Earth's core and try and keep our planet's magnetic field from destabilizing. Or yet another one where a team of scientists tries to build a massive, massive fleet of arcs to save the Earth's population amidst torrential global warming. Hollywood has made a lot of money off of our fascination with apocalypse. And that's not surprising. It's not surprising at all, because our fascination as human beings with the end goes way back. It goes way back to the beginning, as far as human history goes. Some of the earliest human texts that we have, the earliest records of human beings putting words on paper, from Sumeria and from Babylon and throughout the ancient Near East, from the cradle of civilization, as it's called, some of the earliest writings that we have focus on beginnings and endings. just how did the world begin? Some great poet wondered, maybe 3,000 or so years ago. And then they begin to scribble. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, whose words and poetry we all know and love, it's a creation story. It's a literary genre, a creation story. Genesis is not a novel. It's not a biography. It's not the kind of biography you'd go and pull off the shelves at Chapters. That's not its genre. It's a creation story. It tries to unpack for us as human beings in words and images and mystery how our world began. And the ancient Israelites weren't the only society that had these stories. As I said, the Greeks had them, the Sumerians had them, the Babylonians had them, the Egyptians had them. And just like creation stories are a genre, and they try to unpack for us with their words and images what the beginning of the world looked like, so too do apocalypses, the genre of apocalyptic literature. So too does it try to open up our minds to what the end, the mystery of our last days might look like through its use of words and images and poetry. Apocalyptic literature is fundamentally evocative. It tries to evoke in us an emotional connection, a spiritual connection with our end, and it does so by deploying cataclysmic events like fires and wars and earthquakes. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament, you might say, is the equivalent of an ancient Israelite blockbuster movie, complete with all the latest special effects. And so too, the book of Revelation, the revelation of John in the New Testament, is that for the early church. And so as we consider these books today, as the church in 2019, as we encounter apocalypses, we need to remember that they were never intended to be literal predictions. That wasn't their function when they were written. The book of Revelation, for instance, was not written out to be a play-by-play for just what is going to happen when the world ends. Just which war is going to happen first, and then this event will happen, and then that event will happen, and then the capital of Israel will move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden we'll see four horsemen coming. No. That's not how it was intended. And Jesus warns us so clearly this morning in Luke's gospel to avoid falling into that trap of thinking that we can somehow figure out the sequence of events. He says really clearly, beware. Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, I am he. I've got it figured out. The time is near. Do not go after them, Jesus says. No, he says, when you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place. But the end will not follow immediately. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You see, even in the midst of apocalypse, even as we in our humanity, in our finality, our mortality, even as we contemplate our end, Jesus insists, Jesus proclaims that there is good news to share. The good news that Christ shares with us, that Christ has been sharing with this world for 2,000 years now, that has been turning the powers and principalities of this earth inside up and upside down. The good news that the dark and deadly tomb of Good Friday has and will become the life-giving womb of Easter Sunday. Real absence, my friends, for us becomes real presence. Endings always beget new beginnings. Out of death always comes new life. And this morning, along with every other congregation in our Diocese of Ottawa, we've been invited to participate in a small piece of of that resurrection life. We've been invited to receive and place an eagle feather, a sacred Canadian Indigenous symbol, which represents the connection between the people of the land and the Creator. We've been invited to place one here amidst our church family as an act of reconciliation. Out of the pain and out of the trauma and out of the death, you might even say apocalypse, that has characterized the relationship between settlers and First Peoples in our church in this land. Out of that awful death, there is still new life. Hope endures. A self-determining Indigenous church has been born, thanks be to God. And together, with our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Christ, we join together with God today in giving thanks for the gift of resurrection. And so I pray that this eagle feather that will soon be in front of this pulpit will be a reminder to our church family to continue proclaiming God's truth. And that's why, as I said to the children, it's being placed here in front of this pulpit as a reminder to all who stand in this place that the only words that are to be spoken here are words of life and truth. That out of death always comes new life. I won't be with you next Sunday, as I said, as we celebrate the reign of Christ. But as we approach the end of yet another church year, as we complete another journey around the sun in the company of the Holy One who is our guide, my ardent prayer is that God will help us to know as a church family that the snowflakes that now blanket our fields with their cool and deathly embrace will soon give those same fields life-giving water. May God help us to know that the fires that burn all around us, both physically and emotionally, fires that destroy so much and burn so intensely, may God help us to know that one day those fires will give way to new shoots and new ferns and new trees pushing up into the light through a blanket of ashes, covering the earth with their cool leaves. May God help us to continue proclaiming the sacred truth that things which were cast down are being raised up, things which had grown old are being made new, and all things and all of us are being brought to our perfection by Him through whom all things were made, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.